Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. Today we're going to talk a little bit about this presidential election and what's going on. There have been a lot of accusations thrown around about untruths being told. Lies is, I guess, another word for untruths that some people might use. And whether or not there's some blowback now, as one of my guests has said to me from the press with John McCain, because of the untruths coming out of that campaign, some people very worried that on the Democratic side that Barack Obama's not doing much to swing back. And on in this race, there have been interesting things that have been written. Blizzard of Lies was a piece that Paul Krugman wrote today in the New York Times, and I read a very interesting piece sent to me by a number of people, including Leah Gilmore, who was to be with us tonight but could not come, unfortunately, but she will be back with us many times in the future. So, but it's called White Privilege, White Entitlement, and the 2008 Election by Tim Weiss, or Wise. I don't know if it's Weiss or Wise. Tim Wise, I would guess. And I'll read some of this, and we'll comment on some of his comments as well and more. Joining me in studio right now is Bob Sorenby, who's the editor of the Daily Howler, who helped us cover the national convention. Bob, good to have you here.
Good to be here. Good to see you back.
Always good to be back. It is good to be back. And Ann McCarthy will be joining us shortly. She's on her way, I understand. She's a former Republican candidate for state comptroller who joined us during the convention as well. And you can join us here at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888, or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Your thoughts on where all this is, whether it's white privilege or lies or the elections that's taking place, and your thoughts on what could be happening to America. But first, we're going to turn to 7th District Congressman Elijah Cummings, who joins us here by phone. And Elijah, welcome. Good to have you with us. Elijah there? Not yet? All right. Yes, he is there. Yes. All right.
Elijah? I am here.
Hey, Elijah, how are you, my
Hello.
Friend? Good, good,
I'm
good.
Fine.
I'm glad. Now I can hear you. I got
I
you now.
I hear you clearly.
Good.
Okay.
So, and welcome.
I'm glad to be here, Mark.
410-319-8888. We'll take your calls while Congressman Cummings is with us as well, as we sit with Bob Sorenby, who's in the studio with us. So the conversation here is that we're starting off with a question of lies and deceits that have been taking place in this election so far, and the effect you think it has had on this electoral process so far. Elijah?
Well, I think one of the things that concerned me, Mark, is how the press has been able to discover the truth. Say, for example, with some of Ms. Palin's records and like with the Bridge to Nowhere, and then you hear McCain on the other end talking about how Barack Obama is going to increase people's taxes when he doesn't tell the whole truth, and he's only talking about 5% of the people having their taxes increased, but he acts like the whole population is going to have it increased. Things like that, I think, just outright untruth. But the thing that gets me is that the press will come out and show clearly that these items are untrue, and the same day, you hear them over and over and over again from Senator McCain and Governor Palin, which I just find just incredible. And, you know, because a lot of people would be kind of ashamed of their lies, but these folks seem to depend upon the public not either caring or not paying attention. And so they go on with them. And I think I think a lot of this stuff can have a lot of impact. And, you know, then the other thing that I find fascinating about this is how the Republicans have criticized their own party and pretty much saying you ought to throw the bums out, but at the same time saying, well, we're not part of the bums that we want you to throw out. You know, it's so interesting. But I also believe that if someone has the audacity, to borrow an expression from The Rock, the audacity to do this, you have to believe that somebody thinks something is going to work, or they wouldn't be doing it.
We have a lot of clips here we're going to play today, which we'll do shortly. We're joined by Ann McCarthy, who is the former Republican candidate for the Maryland Comptroller's Office and was a alternate delegate to the Republican Convention. Good to have you with us.
No delegate.
A delegate. I thought it was alternate. I was wrong about alternate?
Oh, yeah. I was delegate.
Excuse me. Let me take the alternate right out of that title.
Hi, Mark. Glad to be here.
Good
Hi, Bob.
Good to have you back. And folks, we're going to get your phone calls here. I'd like to hear what you think about all this, and what you. Well, let's just start about this question of the untruths, lies being told about Barack Obama in these ads, and how people actually get away with it. See, but you know, if you look at what I think is a nonpartisan website from the Annenberg Political Fact Check. If you Google right now, www.factcheck.org, you can see the whole list as they look on both campaigns and look at where truths have been stretched and lies have been told. You can see some of the things we've been talking about and go there as we're speaking. And Gary and Cynthia, please hold on. I want to get to both your comments. Cynthia wants to talk about the media, and Gary's read the White Privilege article. And I really want to talk a bit about that and get your perspectives on that, too. But and as somebody who is... an active Republican, talk about your response to all that.
I think my response to all of this on both sides is that I'm sort of disappointed in both candidates. They promised to be different than before, and they are about change or about being mavericks, and yet when it comes to push comes to shove, their staff gets a hold of them, and they're back to politics as usual. And it's a shame. I really thought that they would break the mold.
Elijah, and then Bob.
Well, I have a lot more disappointment with the McCain-Palin side of this. As I said, I just see outright lies. Just incredibly saying you're for something that and against, and then lying, not only lying about your own record, reinventing your own record, but then distorting your opponent's record at the same time when things can be easily either proven or disproven. It just seems to be an utter disregard for the American people.
Let me put out
and a need for truthfulness in the process. I think it's important to have an honest process. And sometimes when I listen to these untruths, I ask myself, will we teach our kids to do this kind of stuff? Will we teach them to tell an untruth about somebody running against them for the student council presidency in the eighth grade?
Well, let me throw this out here and just throw it out. Bob, you can start off with this and go around the room and then open the phones here. When I look, and I spent a lot of time over the part of the weekend and today going through all these fact check and all this stuff that my producers kept throwing my way to read to kind of think about what was going on and listening to ads, and we'll play a few of those ads in a minute. But it seems to me, though, when you look at all the ads, I mean, there have not been much coming out of Barack Obama's campaign that have been kind of out and direct lies about McCain or Palin. And, of course, maybe part of that's because almost all of Barack Obama's ads so far have been fairly lukewarm, except for the last couple of days where he's maybe coming out swinging. They've been pretty tepid, and that's part of his problem at the moment, I think, in this campaign. But the sliming against, let's say, Palin has been mostly on the web by a lot of unknown sources. They've been telling a lot of untruths about her, about banning books in libraries, which isn't true, and other things like that. But they didn't come out of the Obama campaign. But out of the McCain campaign came like really direct, outright lies, and some people put that right at the feet of the men and some women who run that campaign that come right out of Karl Rove's office. The same tactics in the past.
Karl Rove was criticizing it yesterday on Fox. And by the way, I believe it was either yesterday or today on Fox, there's tape going around the internet now. Megyn Kelly, one of the Fox newscasters, was very tough on Tucker Bounds, McCain's spokesman, about the claims about Obama's taxing. This was a Fox, a high-ranking Fox broadcaster, really giving a McCain spokesman a very hard time about the what she described as the dishonesty of their claims. I was saying to you before the show, Mark, there's really a kind of a rolling pushback developing now from the press corps, even spreading into Fox, about the McCain campaign's claims. Now, I will not tell you the Obama campaign has never made any false or misleading claims, which they have. But I do think that the McCain campaign has been kind of amazing in the last, let's say, 3 weeks, something that a different kind of campaign, something more, a kookier, stranger kind of campaign than we've ever seen before. And the only good thing I'll say is there's a widespread pushback coming from the press corps, including now on Fox. I think that's kind of remarkable. I'm not sure it's going to help. I'm not sure what kind of effect that has on anything. If a campaign keeps, for example, Governor Palin today again asserted, I told the Congress thanks, but no thanks on the British number. That's about as close to a flat-out misstatement as a politician ever makes. You don't have to lie to mislead the public.
By
omission and by insinuation, you can completely mislead people. That's as close to a flat-out bogus claim as a politician ever makes. Everyone has debunked it, not always very skillfully, but she's still out there saying it and getting big applause and defining herself and her running mate that way. So if journalists can't make politicians stop saying things that aren't true. I mean, they can all say it's untrue. That's their opinion. And voters have been told for 45 years, this is the liberal press corps that hates the Republicans. And when they now it's coming from Fox. That's going to be a little hard to explain. But when they hear this fact-checking done by press corps, they've been told, voters have been told forever to discount what the press corps tells you when they're criticizing Republicans. I don't know how that affects the way swing voters perceive it.
I think what we got here is that obviously the McCain, these people are not, they're not stupid. McCain/Palin and the folks who are running this campaign have come to a conclusion that they can bombard the public with these lies, that the public will apparently get excited about them, will disregard the truth, and the excitement in and of itself will drive its their folks to the polls. I mean, you can't come to any other conclusion, because anybody else would be ashamed to be putting these lies out. You might even get an apology, but here they say, let's continue. So that tells you something. Either they have an utter disregard for the truth, or they believe that what they are doing is going to work and that the public just either will not pay attention to what's going on, or they just will choose to believe what they're saying, period. I mean, that's the only conclusions I can come to.
Ann McCarthy?
Well, I'll say what I said sort of at the beginning. I think that they're both misstating things, which is unfortunate. And regarding Governor Palin's thanks but no thanks, when she said that, and I thought to myself, this is another Al Gore Buddhist temple problem. It's like, why? There's no need, as you say, Bob. There's no need for this to happen.
Except Al Gore never said anything inaccurate about the Buddhist temple.
Well, he got in trouble for
yes. It's as close as I've ever seen to a politician repeatedly saying something that is just really plainly very hard to make out to be true.
And there's no need for it.
Well, there is a need for it. It's a very useful bit of self-definition. She's leading with that. That's how she's defining herself as the gutsy maverick who stood up to the Congress. She didn't. There's nothing wrong with what she did about the Bridge to Nowhere. She just didn't ever do that. But it's how she's defining her, and by extension, it's also defining McCain and putting new life into the McCain image. It's a very powerful tool, and it's being repeated over and over again for a reason.
Let me open the phone to you again. And Elijah, how long do you have with us here?
Just got a few minutes, Mark, but I'd like to get a call with you.
Let's do that. Well, Elijah Cummings is one of our guests for the first part of this program. Of course, he is the 7th District Congressman. Ann McCarthy is with us, former Republican candidate for Maryland Comptroller and a delegate to the Republican National Convention. Bob Summerby, editor of the Daily Howler, who's been a guest with me for many, many years. Number here is 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888, or feel free to write here at steinershow@gmail.com here on WEAA. And Gary in West Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, folks. How y'all doing?
Good, Gary. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much. First of all, I wanted to commend Tim Wise for his candor. He's refreshing in his honesty. It brings back memories, and I'm 55 years old, just graduated a couple years later than Mr. Cummings did from City College. And, he reminds me of Stuart Whitman in Black Like Me. And, this is a historic election. Let's not poo-poo. Even though, Obama doesn't say everything we want him to say, you know, he's in it to win it. And McCain's campaign's not getting called for their lies and misrepresentations. But to get back to Mr. Wise and the article that he wrote on BuzzFlash.com concerning white privilege and the 208 election of 2016.
Gary, excuse me, where did you say you read it first? It was a little garbled.
I read it on BuzzFlash.com. I'm sorry, actually it was sent to me, and then I, something was sent to me by a friend, and then I clicked a phrase or something, and it took me to Tim Wise's article on white privilege and the 2008 election.
Okay.
And so that's when I, and one of the things that Tim touched on was, what would be the response of the electorate if Obama had a 17-year-old daughter and she was pregnant and not married? You know, this would be absolutely horrendous to the electorate. But the way that folks have twisted this and, quote, spun it, it's like, oh, well, she's a good mother, you know. And the fact that the Republicans and the right-wingers are allowed to spend something like that when 2 years ago or even last week they would see this as totally inappropriate behavior speaks volumes to our media as it stands today. And, you know, I want to remind folks that Obama is not running against Palin. Obama is running against McCain, and that is what more folks associated with his campaign has to realize.
Gary, thanks for holding on, and thanks for your thoughts before we go to our next caller. And Elijah, I'd like to have you comment a bit on this. And I mean, I don't know if you saw Tim Wise's piece.
Yes, I did. And I was also thinking about something else as the caller was talking. You know, one, I don't know whether it was Wise or somebody else brought up the issue that if you had a situation where Michelle Obama had been through some of the things that Ms. McCain had been through, the question becomes whether or not Obama would even be able to run. And I seriously question that. I'll be frank with you. I think that there is there's a different standard, no doubt about it. And I sadly, I think race still will play a major role in this election. I think our country has come a long way. No matter what happens in this election, we cannot fail to conclude that we have made a lot of progress. But at the same time, I think that we saw the ugly head of race raised in the primary, and I think that we see it here in this election. But I think Obama, to his credit, has done everything in his power to stay above that. Now, you know, I know him very well, and one of the things that he tries to do is to keep, you know, stay above the fray, and no matter how many punches are thrown, at best try to duck him, but not necessarily punching back. But I think he's come to a point now where when untruths are being told, that he basically has to say, hey, you know, this is the truth. This is what the truth is. But again, I still question, how do you come to the conclusion that you can outright lie to the public and still get away with it and get elected with the lies? I mean, to me, that's phenomenal. And I don't know what that says about our society. I don't know. And I'm not saying it's going to work, but I'm just saying the idea that they would do it and think it will work, because they would not be doing it unless they thought it would work. And so, you know, again, I'm baffled by it. I think one of the things that Barack Obama finds difficult is that I think he knew that there would be some swift voting and things of that nature. But I don't know whether he thought that it would be this kind of outright untruth being told.
Congressman Cummings, those sorts of words are just there's no reason to use that kind of language to talk about. Mr. Obama, Senator Obama has said lies also. So it doesn't help any of us. For you as a figure of stature and people looking up to you to be so partisan in your comments and not at least acknowledge that Senator Obama also has had done misstatements and is almost as equally guilty, if you're going to use these sorts of terms, which I abhor, of swift-boating, you know, Senator McCain.
How is he swift-boating Senator McCain?
Yeah, I like
he,
to know
he
that.
Completely took out of context Senator McCain's comments of, about Afghanistan and troops going there. And he totally lied about whether average family income went up or down under the Bush administration. So both sides are guilty here. I don't think it helps us to point a finger at one side more than the other. We should instead be calling for a higher level of public debate and expecting our elected representatives to provide that higher level of debate.
Well, I'm sorry, man. When somebody goes out there and talks about a piece of legislation to protect our 5 and 6-year-olds from predators, and it's turned around to make it look like some kind of sex education issue, I'm sorry, I have a problem with that. When they're told that 90, they go out and tell folk that most of them that are under Obama proposal would raise their taxes, that's an outright lie. That's just not true. It's not true.
Actually, he will raise taxes on some people.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not what they say.
I mean, it is true. That's not what they're saying.
Nor does Senator Obama tell the entire truth about that.
If Obama was doing the same thing as McCain, I'd be just as upset. I think people deserve honesty. I think people deserve integrity. Because if they're going to make decisions, I think those decisions should be based upon honest statements. So I feel the same way about both of them. And maybe I need to zero in a little bit more on all of Obama's statements. But I got to tell you, the ones that I've heard from McCain, and I have listened to my Obamas, but I want to go back and be fair to you, I got to tell you, they are very alarming.
You know, until a month ago,
Elijah, I know you have to roll. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Take care. Elijah Cummings has been our guest. Back to the phones here, 410-319-8888, after Bob Sonnenby weighs in.
As of a month ago, I would have agreed that basically there's been a roughly equal situation in terms of truth-telling. I do think in the last month, the McCain campaign has gotten very strange in a blizzard of half-truths and weird truths and mistruths, and I think they have tilted the balance. I can answer Congressman Cummings' answer as to why they think it'll work. It has worked. He then used the term swift voting. Now, you know, that was a very strange campaign against Kerry, and it was amazingly successful. 4 years earlier, it went on for 2 years against Gore. Everyone now says, well, Al Gore never said he invented the Internet. We were told for 2 years he had. There was a tremendous blizzard of false claims about Gore, most of them from the press corps, not from the Republican Party, 8 years ago. Dissembling about candidates has worked extremely well in the last several campaigns, and I think this is the next level in a growing culture and it's partly worked because the Democratic Party has allowed it to work. Congressman Cummings, I'm sorry he's on the phone. I don't want to seem to be talking about him after he's no longer here. He said, I don't know why it worked, and then he used the term swift voting. That's why they're doing it. He said, I don't know why they're doing it, and then he used the term swift voting. That's why they're doing it. Has the Democratic Party really fought back against that in the last several campaigns? I will say no, absolutely not. It's a lazy, and I'm not talking about, I don't mean Congressman Cummings hasn't fought back. The Democratic Party leadership, the DNC leadership, is lazy, inert. They don't seem to care who wins and who loses. You can say anything about their candidates, and they'll tolerate it till the end of time.
Let's go and see what the listeners think and come back to our two guests. You just heard Bob Sonnenby. Ann McCarthy is with us. Congressman Cummings is with us for the first part of our program, 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com as we look at lies and abuses of the truth in this campaign. And Cynthia in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Cynthia.
There are a lot of things that people have said that I agree with, but I have a very strong feeling that the media, in many ways, the mainstream media, is complicit in what is happening. It came to me when Palin came on, and some of them, you could actually see some of these media guys being giddy, almost like they got a turn on by seeing this woman. She was feisty, et cetera. They didn't want to go and look into her background very well. They have not looked into McCain's background. And I get on the Internet, and I'm sure many other people do. I have written to various media sources and say, well, look into the fact that McCain got into Annapolis on legacy. He had been a poor high school student. They're putting Obama as elite, but he had an admirable father, admirable grandfather. He got into Annapolis and then didn't perform. He was running around. He even took younger midshipmen out on the town, had them sneak out and drink and whatever. And Philip Butler, Dr. Philip Butler, was also at Annapolis. He has, you need to look into his story, because he was at the same camp 2.5 years before McCain. He endured more torture. He received more medals. And yet the media is so afraid to look into that and to try to consider, you know, exposing some of this. POW makes me, you know, more important than anyone else. There were at least 600 of them. The media is complicit every time something comes up. They know it's a lie. They don't even try to.
Let me ask a question about what you're raising, Cynthia. I think the POW thing is an interesting thing to talk about, and I think we can get there in a minute. And I want to talk about what you talked about first before we go to Philip and Chevrolet, which is any of that relevant in a campaign? For either one of you or other listeners out there, or am I just off base here? I mean, does anybody really care? Is it really important whether or not John McCain was a crazy drinker and a wild man at the Naval Academy?
Well, that has been discussed endlessly by the press because they love that. So, I mean, in all candor, that has been widely discussed, and the press thinks it's fun. And to me, it's no. I don't cast my vote based on what people did when they were 20. The POW thing has been a very basic part of the way McCain has defined himself and been defined.
He's defined himself.
Yes, defined by the press corps. The press corps, everyone agrees, has had a 12-year, 15-year love affair with McCain. It's ending right now. I think the caller, if she goes out and waits a couple of days, she's going to see a lot more pushback coming from the mainstream. Whether it will work or not, there's a lot, but a pushback coming. But the press corps has loved McCain for a very long time. Everyone understands this. And they were especially in love with his Vietnam history for various reasons. And so it's been a defining part of his story.
How can you not be?
As a professional journalist, you can stop emphasizing it so much unless you're prepared to explain why it's directly relevant, which I really don't think it is, to be honest.
I think it shows the character of a person.
Well, but
and if
but,
you listen to him, he'll in fact say it was at that moment that he changed from being self-centered and reckless to really understanding what it is about serving others and serving his country.
Well, that is his narrative. But I'm saying if it did change his character, if it defined his character and gave him outstanding character, you will see the outstanding character in his adult service as a 26-year member of Congress. And you don't have to go back and make inferences from what happened to him as a younger person, therefore to make an inference about what this must have done to his character. Examine his character and see what he's done as a public servant. You know, you don't have to go around making up novelized stories about people's histories to try to figure out what their character is. But that's what he has asked the press corps to do, and they've done it endlessly.
I mean, I'm not sure that being a POW or being a community organizer makes you a good president of the United States of America.
Neither one.
I'm not sure what makes you a good president of the United States.
Well, that's
States
what I'm saying. So, I always harken back to talking about Abraham Lincoln. I mean, if you looked at, other than his speeches and his Lincoln-Douglas debates, his defeat for the Senate, running for the Senate, which is a different situation. The Illinois Senate decided who was going to be in the Senate. That's not quite fair, but he lost his race for the House. He was a one-term congressman. And, you know, an anti-war congressman who lost his race. And he became one of the greatest presidents in American history. So that's why I'm saying, let's talk about what we're talking about here that makes sense to talk about. But come back and listen to some clips. 410-319-8888. Ebon in Colombia and Halim on the air. We'll be back to your thoughts in just a minute. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and we're sitting here with Ann McCarthy, former Republican candidate for Maryland Comptroller and a delegate to the Republican National Convention, and Bob Summerby, editor of the Daily Howler. His sympathy seems to lean towards the D side of the fence.
I vote Democratic.
Yes, you do. 410-319-8888, or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Before we go back to the phones, I want to play a clip. So, Yvonne and John and Helene, please hold on. I want to get your thoughts. I was asked by one of the panelists and by some other emails coming in, what do we mean by white privilege? And there's an article we've been talking about by Tim Weiss called White Privilege, White Entitlement, and the 2008 Election, which you can Google and find it.
What'd you
say?
Tim Weiss.
Tim Weiss. What did I say?
You said Weiss.
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 What's with Weiss?
Weiss. 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 Tim Weiss, W-I-S-S-E. And I'll just read you a couple of paragraphs. You can see what he's saying here. I can't use all the words he uses or we'd be tossed right off the air, and then Zachary Coleman wouldn't have a job. We can't have that. So here we go. So he said, white privilege is when you can get pregnant at 17 like Bristol Palin, and everyone is quick to insist that your life and that of your family is a personal matter, and that no one has a right to judge you or your parents because, quote, every family has challenges, end quote, even as black and Latino families with similar, quote-unquote, challenges are regularly typified as irresponsible, pathological, and arbiters of social decay. White privilege is when you can call yourself an effing redneck, like Bristol Palin's boyfriend does, and talk about how if anyone messes with you, you'll kick their... Can't go through that either. And talk about how you like to shoot the... Can't say that either, for fun, and still be viewed as a responsible all-American boy and a great son-in-law to be, rather than a thug. And he goes on with a number of these, and I can't read the whole thing, but it's online. You can read it, and he talks. There's actually an article, I think, that says a great deal about what happens in America and how white privilege in this country overlooks things. But clearly, I think if one of Obama's daughters were pregnant, we'd be having a very different conversation in America.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on, Ann. You don't think that if Obama's daughters were pregnant, one was pregnant, we wouldn't be having this conversation about black families and how black families have illegitimate kids? And you
think that his would daughter be is 10, Mark. Let's be
the
honest.
The older one.
She's 11. No, I'm just kidding.
This is America.
If we were having the conversation as we seem to be having it about Sarah Palin's daughter, I hope that both candidates would say off the table, out of limits.
But the press would not be.
Hey, by the way,
making them the darling of America. They would be doing the exact opposite.
But Mark, if that's the case, then why haven't they gone after Senator Obama for the fact that probably his father wasn't even divorced from his Kenyan wife when he married Obama's mother in Hawaii? And that whole, you know, is that white privilege too? Because she was white, so they're ignoring all of that.
No, they have not. That's been in the press, and he's talked about it, and it's been in his books.
I'll have to say the children of candidates, including the children of white candidates, have pretty much been off radar for press coverage. Now, for example, when Gore was running for president, his son, who was then about 17, had several legal things. And the press hated Gore, and they stayed away from the son. I mean, I'd have to say, in candor, the press corps has pretty much not gone after children of politicians.
All right.
Britney Spears' sister when she got pregnant.
I'll go to the phone channel. It says a clip, but I will still maintain, I think, that if Obama's kids, we'd be having a different conversation in America. 410-319-8888. But first, let's go to this clip. Clips 4 and 5 from McCain. And listen to those for a moment, and we'll come back and we'll go to the phones.
She took on the special interests and lobbyists who had been in control of her state, and especially the big oil companies, with major ethics reforms, tax cuts, and $500 million in spending vetoes. She put government back on the side of the people. She took government out of the hands of the special interests and the oil companies and the old boy network and gave it back to the people of Alaska. That's a clear record of what she's accomplished.
What is she going to do?
And that's
do
what
in
we
Washington?
Have to do in Washington. The same thing.
McCain defending his vice presidential candidate pick. And this is Senator Biden talking about the Republican campaign is not about issues.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rick Davis, John's campaign manager, said 2 days at the convention, and I heard this. He said, this election is not about issues. That's what he said. And everything I saw at the convention demonstrated that. It was about how well-placed and, boy, she is good, how a left jab can be stuck pretty nice. It's about how Barack Obama is such a bad guy. I tell you, it's not so much what I heard in the Republican convention when you heard John speak last night, or not so much what I heard when I heard part of what the governor had to say, the vice presidential candidate. It's what I didn't hear. The silence of the Republican Party was deafening. It was deafening on jobs, on health care, on environment, on all the things that matter to the people in the neighborhoods I grew up in. Deafening.
And we'll see what our listeners think about all this. We're going to play some campaign ads in a minute from the McCain campaign. But first, 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow at gmail.com. And let's go to Michael in Delaware, if you're on the air.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Michael.
I'm very interested in trying to understand why we haven't heard anything more about his military record since it's such a character issue. His military record is not a good one. He's crashed 5 airplanes.
You're talking about...
He's at the bottom percent of his class in Annapolis, and his voting record against veterans is abysmal.
Now, that last part especially, I'm surprised we haven't seen more Obama ads that actually take on Senator McCain's voting record when it comes to veterans benefits.
But that would be an issue. And by the way, there's one thing that was true in that last clip. This campaign is definitely not about issues. There hasn't been a discussion of an issue in this campaign, and there isn't going to be. I mean, there is not going to be a single serious discussion of anything between now and November. It's just clear now. And it's just baffling.
But if the Democrats are saying that the issues are not being raised, if that's what the Democrats are saying, isn't the Democrats' responsibility to push that, whether it's on their TV ads or whatever else?
You'd think they'd be doing something by now.
Yes.
And this has been a very weak performance on the Obama campaign. It seemed they, after the primaries, when it turned to the general, they really haven't been able to put together an aggressive message. What are they saying? I really don't know. And yes, that's part of the problem. They have not driven an issue campaign. The press isn't looking to do it, and the McCain campaign isn't looking to do it, but there has been nothing resembling a discussion of issues.
Michael, thanks so much for your call. It's great knowing that folks out Delaware listen to us. Keep them listening.
Thank you
so much. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Halim, has been holding on for a while in Baltimore County.
Yes, how you doing?
Well, Halim, welcome to the show.
You know, they asked the question, why is McCain willing to run the type of campaign that he's running? And I say that he's doing it because he sees that it works. You know, there's a certain segment in the American public that really don't care if you run a campaign based on lies, if you fabricate your record. Don't care. You know, as long as you can push yourself around and make yourself popular, you know, they'll support you. It's proven.
Well, Halim, I would say from my own experience, having run for political office, that there is such a pressure on candidates, and I got it all the time, to run a negative campaign because, quote unquote, it's only the negative campaigns that work. So it's very difficult because I kept on saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'd rather talk about what I stand for and how I differ from our current comptroller, who's acting a lot like a Republican. But that's neither here nor there. But it's very difficult because the countervailing or the attitude is the only way to win is to run a negative campaign. Because people pay attention.
Yeah, and you know, if the individual who's running, as you say that you are, they're being attacked, you know, and you don't attack back, then you proceed as weak, and then you're going to lose. So it's just a matter of the way that the American public is that you just have to do it.
Well, I wonder, that's interesting, Halim, but I mean, it seems that there's a difference between, though, running a campaign of lies.
Good.
And running an aggressive campaign.
Not the same thing.
Fighting the issues.
You can run a negative campaign that's truthful. You can say truthful things about your opponent and say, I don't agree with that, or that's a bad idea. So we often conflate those two things, but they're two different things. The fact that you're being negative or critical or on the attack doesn't mean you're being untruthful.
I mean, I wonder why the Obama campaign... Go ahead, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, if you look at some of these fact-checking things in front of us, that the problem here is that in court, when you go to testify, you're held up to a standard of, I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What happens here is you get a bit of the truth, but not the whole truth, because the whole truth is too complex for a 60-minute soundbite. 60-second,
but suppose you get people talking. What I'm shocked is that the Democrats have not done things like the special perks that go to states. Why does that ad saying things like, for the Democrats, saying things like, Alaskans receive $228 per person in these special earmarks. Illinois citizens get $22. Why, or $38 is what it is. I mean, things, whether it's talking about McCain's record on veterans affairs. I mean, Republicans are going to do it on the other side. There are hard-hitting things that are true that can make the American people kind of wrestle with who they want and what's true and not true.
And let me say again, politicians rarely say things that are flatly untrue. They say things that are misleading. You'll probably have a hard time finding a McCain statement about Obama's tax proposals that is flatly untrue. There's an impression being given that he's going to raise taxes. They use the phrase, he's going to raise taxes on small business. People don't know what that phrase means. It sounds like, oh, my God, he's going to raise taxes on the little guy on the corner store, and that's not what he's proposing. But this is insinuation that gives an impression that's wrong. It's not a flat-out lie.
The problem, I'm going to say this again, a 60-second soundbite does not allow you to convey the kind of information that educates the voter. That's the problem with our system, and that's the problem partially with the press. But in essence, Senator Obama will raise taxes on small businesses because most of them are incorporated as subchapter S's, which means most of their income flows through to their personal income tax, and he will raise.
If they earn how much?
$200,000.
I know, but that's not what people think they're hearing that's not what people think. And by the way, the voters are misinformed constantly on their own. Voters, are constantly wrong about these tax issues. There was an interesting article in the Washington Post a couple of days ago about what people think. People thought Bill Clinton spent the first 6 months of his presidency, I'm only going to raise taxes in the top 2%. And like 8 months in, 78% thought their taxes were going up. And people are constantly... You can't make people not be misinformed. People just do it on their own.
Well, let's play two of the ads, and we'll talk right back to the phones that people have been holding on to join this conversation. Ads that come from the McCain campaign. I think on our list here, gentlemen and lady over there, they are 12 and 13 and 14.
Our economy in crisis. Only proven reformers John McCain and Sarah Palin can fix it. Tougher rules on Wall Street to protect your life savings. No special interest giveaways. Lower taxes to create new jobs. Offshore drilling to reduce gas prices. They lashed out at Sarah Palin, dismissed her as good looking. That backfired, so they said she was doing what she was told. Then desperately called Sarah Palin a liar. How disrespectful.
And so that was those were the two ads. I mean, I think that
dismissed her as good looking is really just flat out not true. Just not true. When they cite that to a joke that Biden made about what's the difference between you and Sarah Palin, he joked and he said, well, she's a lot better looking than I am. Ha ha. You know, it's just to put an ad out like that with that tone, like they're going around, making snide remarks. That's just so bogus and foolish. Now, could you say it's flat out a lie? Well, not exactly, but it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. And that's the kind of thing that the press corps is starting to push back against en masse, including on Fox.
There you go. The phone's here at 410-319-8888. Iban in Columbia, you're on the air.
Thanks, Mark, for taking my call.
Thanks for waiting, and thanks for being on the air with us.
good. I just have 2 points to make. One is I really do think that we underestimate the intelligence of the American public. When we believe that there is no way for them to hear truth, honesty, and be impressed by it. So I would just encourage Obama to please go to his strength. He has a lot of knowledge and integrity, and he needs to sell that. And he needs to do it persuasively. And then if our country wants to just, you know, go in the other direction, we will get what we do. The second point is that I do think, again, that the American public can also be influenced by positive educational ads. I wonder if Obama is aware of the fact that when he puts his ad on with McCain's picture, a lot of people may not even hear the ad, but they see his picture for a long time. Why in the world would he spend his money with his picture on there and with educational messages? I'd like a reaction to that. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Anyone? I think it's a great idea. I agree with her. She's right. We should have positive ads that promote that the candidates in which are promoting themselves and their policies.
And I thought that ad that she's referring to was a highly ineffective ad from my...
The ad...
with McCain and the big glasses from, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
That may have been the worst ad ever. I mean, really, the idea that someone's going to vote against McCain because he doesn't do email? I mean, really, that was...
stupid.
Let Democrats cut off all the older voters who maybe...
Yes. Someone said, look, the voters Obama is trying to reach are those older white voters who... voted for Clinton. They don't do email either. So you're making fun of the people you're trying to reach. That was just
really
incredible.
Well, they're probably bitter and clinging to God.
Well, whatever. They're not clinging to their email, I'll tell you that.
410-319-8888. Ron, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Ron.
I'd just like to let you folks know that I think this discussion is focusing on something that is going to be extremely important for the future of our politics.
What's that?
I don't understand. Well, a previous caller mentioned that McCain graduated at the bottom of his class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what kind of a hole the Republican Party has fallen into when they think that they can successfully ridicule and denigrate a candidate for the presidency of the United States for having a good education. And I don't understand what kind of a hole America is in when they're successful, when this campaign is successful at ridiculing the fact that Barack Obama was president of the Harvard Law Review. This is going to have serious consequences for our political future.
Ron, you raised something. Just stay with this, Max. You raised something I think is really interesting here. That where the psyche of America is with this. You have two people that have criticized both Obama and Michelle. I mean, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. Two people who are working class kids from this country.
Okay.
Who worked their way through college and up into Ivy League schools and got through. I mean, Obama himself went to Occidental College first. And then transferred into Columbia. I have that right?
Right.
And so I mean, and that becomes a point of elitism, and it's interesting
now,
to me that we can have
that
argument.
How can that be elitist?
But this has been very effective politics. You know, think of the transition in Republican politics over the last 20 years from Bush Senior to Bush Junior, and then to McCain. Bush Senior was Phi Beta Kappa at Yale. By the time we got to Bush Junior or his son, he was sort of affecting this I'm just a rube like you are stuff. And McCain has always pushed this. Phil Graham, when he ran for president, he ran, I failed the second grade, I failed the fifth grade. I mean, this is attractive to many voters. Many voters, this whole idea about Eastern elites versus regular people is a very big dividing line in American politics. And this I'm no smarter than you are is a very effective selling point for in recent Republican politics.
And
I think that would be just George W. Bush.
Well, McCain constantly pushes the I was fifth in the bottom of my – now, of course, he was. Maybe he's trying just to defuse it. And there's no doubt Phil Graham was leading with that. He constantly cited
that.
Well,
he wasn't elected.
I know.
He wasn't even a nominee.
I agree. He's McCain's economic
Not any longer.
Well, unclear, but I'm just saying this is something that voters, many voters don't like the idea that someone went was the president of the Harvard Law Review.
Ron, thanks. Ron, I'm glad you, pardon me, I'm sorry.
Actually, I don't think that's what got him into trouble. I think it was Hillary Clinton that labeled him as elite to begin with, and it was after his comment about, you know, rural and Americans being bitter and clinging to God that, you know, that then they went after him from being out of touch with the common American.
Let me say, I don't think it matters where someone should matter where someone went to college. You should judge. These are adults. Judge them on what they've done in right. their adult lives.
I totally agree.
But these are basic parts of the biographies that get presented to us all the time.
410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. And let's go to Tim in Glen Burnie. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, Tim.
Hi. There's the new commercial that Obama's running about the attacks from the McCain campaign. And, of course, Obama's talking about this being the silly season, Letterman the other night. But I look back 17 months ago when this campaign started, and the Obama campaign completely adapted from the first day the media and Republican scripts and attacks on the Clintons. I mean, from the first day when Robert Gibbs said that the Clintons had sold out the Lincoln bedroom to the first commercial they ran in the campaign on the primaries, which said that Hillary would, quote-unquote, do or say anything to be president, I think that they were going down that road, and I find it very ingenuous for them to pretend that, you know, that they're the ones that are being attacked when that's how they got the nomination. So I'd wonder how you feel about that.
And
there's no doubt there was some rough activity in 2007, and as is conventionally the case, the Obama campaign, being the campaign that was behind, was doing more attacking on Clinton than the Clinton campaign in 2007 when she was the front runner. Front runners try to run ahead and stay above the fray and right. never even mention the other side. It didn't work out for her, and they were trafficking on some negative narratives about the Clintons that the press corps loves, including the Lincoln bedroom. That was in like June of 2007 they were sending out press release. I found that ridiculous. The Clintons did nothing wrong with the Lincoln bedroom. But that produced a lot of bad feeling within the Democratic Party that still persists in some quarters.
I agree.
Go to the phones, 410-319-8888. And I think, James, you've been holding on for a while. You're on the air. Randallstown.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, James. Speak up a little bit.
Okay. I have one comment to make. When we're talking about a vice president and we're talking about Sarah Palin, the thing is, she knows nothing about minorities and how they and their struggle and what they have to do. Because in Alaska, she only dealt with the whites and the native people there in Alaska. There were no the most minorities she ever met around was the ones at the convention. So I'm looking at her as, how can, and I've listened to both campaigns constantly, and how can she... I wouldn't feel safe with her as a vice president or president, because she doesn't know what she's doing. And the reason McCain chose her is because if she ever gets into a debate with Obama, there's going to be this backlash from I hate to say this, from mostly white people from the southern white folks that will say, how dare this black man talk to this woman like this. I hate to say this, but this is how it is.
James, I appreciate the thoughts, and thank you. I'm glad you held on. Thank you so much. Anybody have comments?
Well, if that's mostly in the southern states, it won't matter because McCain's going to win them anyway. But there's been no proposals about racial issues from either campaign. So, it hasn't even been a part of the discussion.
Well, Sarah Palin won't debate Senator Obama.
Yeah, no, right.
She'll beat Senator Biden.
I wasn't sure right.
So there won't be that issue.
I thought he was referring to
These debates scheduled?
Obama debating.
Have they been scheduled yet?
Yeah, they've been scheduled. September 26th is the first presidential. And the vice presidential, which is going to be the big event that everyone's going to watch, is October 2nd. This is going to be the most embarrassing event ever when the vice presidential debate draws a bigger crowd than any presidential debate.
I want to thank Ann McCarthy and Bob Trumbull for taking their time with us today, and Elijah Cummings. It's good to have you all with us.
My pleasure.
Thank you all for writing in and calling in. And tomorrow, you join us. We're going to have Dr. Andres Alonso, CEO of Baltimore City Public Schools, for a conversation about our schools and see what you think. The Mark Steiner Show is produced by Jessica Phillips and Justin Levy. We're directed and engineered by Zachary Coleman. Our intern is Judith Lloyd. Thanks to Clean Cuts Music and Sound for studio and office space. And for WEAA Public Radio 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.